You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
Why keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro?
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, images of Syrian refugees dying in the waters off the coasts of southern Europe and Turkey spurs European action on accepting refugees. Yeah, we still bomb. Donald Trump. It's September. He's still here. And slowly, it seems, the media and the is beginning to accept the reality of Trump. And it is wonderful watching the implosion in the Republican Party. Meanwhile, Lawrence Lessig, sadly, announces he is jumping into the race. There's a poll up. You can vote for Jon Stewart as his vice presidential candidate. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton announces a campaign finance proposal. President Obama announces federal contractors must provide paid sick leave. And the story of the 43 Mexican students, the official story as to how they were killed, has fallen apart. Meanwhile, good news out of Washington State. Their charter has been ruled by the Supreme Court of Washington State, their constitution has been ruled by the Washington State Supreme Court as finding charter schools, or at least the public funding of them, unconstitutional. And a potentially very good news for a pill that functions, I guess, as an HIV vaccine. We will get to that and more, including the sad story of a newscaster having to apologize to her viewers for saying Spanish words with a Spanish accent. I mean, my God, what country are we living in that you would actually, I don't even know why, it's almost so obvious and so disturbing. I hope you had a good Labor Day weekend, folks, and enjoyed the shows that we had put together for you. Is there another show out there that actually delivers new content even when they're theoretically on vacation? I don't think so. There might be, but I doubt it. And for most of you who podcast, you don't even notice the difference for the most part. I guess we didn't cover, Cliff and I didn't talk about how Kim Davis had been jailed. She is the county clerk from Kentucky who remains in jail and is now getting visits from the Republican presidential candidates. Ted Cruz has head there. Mike Huckabee. Really, it's going to be the ones who are really courting the Christian conservatives. The rest of them, I think, are going to stay away because this woman is off her rocker. And I don't necessarily think that she should have been jailed, personally. I think the judge could have simply fined her every day her pay and had and authorized someone else in the office to provide the licenses. I mean, I don't know if it's a jailing offense, but you know, these judges, they don't appreciate it when you commit contempt of court. But it doesn't really change the analysis at all. And I don't think you're seeing the right wing rally around her in this way because they don't want this to be an issue in the election. They don't want these sort of white-knuckled hanging on to this notion of remember the good old days where we could really, really tell our children that gay people were second-class citizens in this country. Now all we have in many states is just the ability to fire gay people for being gay. But that could just, I mean, it's a slippery slope. Once you acknowledge that gay people are not in some way freaks who cannot be allowed to be in a committed, loving relationship, well, then the next thing, it's obvious you won't even be able to fire them just for being gay. So I think there's going to be very few of the Republican candidates who join in. Huckabee, of course, is just doing anything to maintain his email list because he's got a lot of cinnamon to sell to diabetics in the coming years. And Ted Cruz, I think it's quite clear what Ted Cruz's strategy is. I'm going to draft behind Donald Trump's wake and hopefully along the way pick up a lot of the Christian conservatives. And we're going to get into this dynamic. It is September, ladies and gentlemen. I should also say it's happy birthday to Bernie Sanders.
Well, thank you very much, Junior.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. That is the,
mind your P's and Q's.
There you go. I wasn't going to get
to it. It's like Hyman Roth. Each year I just get stronger.
One of the things I was thinking about putting in the Labor Day bonanza was part of a documentary that Bernie Sanders recorded years ago on Eugene Debs. But I think we put a link to that in the post. If Michael followed everything that I put into that email.
Was it on the IM?
No, I emailed you something with an entire list of the breakdown of the show.
I'll get it.
Mm-hmm. So none of those links made it.
High on a hill was a lonely
Michael will redo that Labor Day post because there's some links there that you should check out that were all included and pulled faithfully by me. One thing I mentioned on the show, too, that I was trying to get a specific speech of John L. Lewis's that I could not get, and I'm still trying to get it. I'm going to try and get it for next year because between Rich Yselson and Kevin Baker, they both recommended it. I couldn't get it.
It's the long wait.
It's the long wait. It's the long wait. But I put in a couple other stuff. I found a bunch of other stuff that was really good. So we did
tune in next year, folks.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, look, people are going to be around next year. It is Labor Day, the day after, the unofficial end of the summer. And so my child's heading back to school tomorrow. Saul starts school tomorrow.
Wow.
And one exciting thing that happened over the break, we were up in Hudson, went into my longtime favorite coffee shop. It's actually gone through a couple of different iterations, but I used to get my coffee there when I used to do the show up there. We walk in. I knew they were selling Just Coffee from justcoffee.coop. Mila screams at the top of her lungs because they are selling the Majority Report blend.
Really?
In the coffee shop. She runs over and she's like, "It's your coffee. It's your coffee." And I'm like, "I know." And "It's your coffee. It's your coffee." And then they said that their house blend, the house coffee they served, is the Majority Report coffee.
Wow.
So Myla told the barista, she was a little bit like, "Oh, that's great." And it was weird. I think the whole scene was weird because Myla was like, "This is my dad." And so that was very exciting. So
that must have been really cool, though, for her, too.
It was exciting for both of us. I don't know who was more excited. Did not get a free cup of coffee.
Really?
No.
Did the baristas even care that you were?
She seemed mildly like, "Oh, that's pretty exciting."
And she still got your name wrong on the cup.
No. Well, it wasn't that kind of coffee shop.
Sounds like an episode of Louie.
That's good. But a good time to remind you, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Buy that Majority FM blend. It is, in fact, a house coffee in at least one coffee shop around the country, probably more. Also, big news while we were out, Tom Brady back in the fold. And this is important because it is opening week of the NFL regular season. Last chance to join FanDuel before the opening weekend. There has been, I was talking to somebody this weekend who was apparently doing fantasy football. Has everybody been playing for this long? I don't know. But it's, I was a big rotisserie baseball guy before I had kids. It's a fun thing to do, particularly if you have time to actually watch the games instead of, like, dealing with your children. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football, more winners and more payouts than any other site. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back on Sunday, watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use my code MAJOR and sign up now. And this is also a special offer for new users. For every dollar that you deposit, FanDuel will match it up with $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people who use my code MAJOR today. Don't forget to use the code MAJOR. FanDuel.com. Every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right. So, like I say, it's September, and this is when things start getting rolled out. This is when the primary campaign technically really begins. And coincidentally, it is also the beginning of the end of the world, according to Alex Jones. Now, I'll tell you why we're playing Alex Jones this early up front, because I'm using it as a sort of a framework, if you will. Here's Alex Jones, apparently with a special report. A global emergency, ladies and gentlemen.
Alex Jones here with a breaking emergency news alert and analysis. It is Saturday, September 5th, 2015. Months ago, back on June 20th, I put out a special report called Total Emergency Alert, Elite Are Now Evacuating. And I break down how they're sending MRAPs to all the local departments saying get ready for civil unrest, get ready to fight the Tea Party. I pointed out how we're having all these announcements for world government.
They're sending MRAPs to fight the Tea Party.
Who are they fighting?
This is a breaking report. That didn't happen. Okay, go ahead.
The Pope and the rest of it. I pointed out that the elite were preparing and pulling their money out of stock markets in the U.S., Europe, but especially China. You now see that's begun to happen. I showed you mainstream news articles where elites are buying armored redoubts in northern Canada, the Ozarks, New Zealand, the Cook Islands. I talked about my sources that said all hell is about to break loose by the fall. Since then, we've seen stock markets fall massively around the world, starting in China, the United States.
Pause it.
We've seen private...
By the fall, ladies and gentlemen. So I guess we got technically a couple of more weeks, but by the fall means before the fall. By the time the fall arrives, all hell will broken loose. And yes, it is true. The stock market dropped, what, 10%? I don't know, because most people in this country don't even have money in the stock market to the extent they do. It's long term. But yes, okay, continue.
Central banks propping it up. We see the Federal Reserve's decision on increasing or decreasing interest rates, sending shockwaves. We are enslaved by the private central banks, who are eugenicists and who want a world financial collapse they control to consolidate power. So June, July, August. June was 1, 2, 3 months ago. June 20th was almost 3 months ago as we sit here.
Now, let me say this. I want to make this clear. That is accurate. It is now in September. June was about 3 months ago. That is 100% accurate. I also like the idea of like, oh, the Fed's here. They're either going to raise or lower the rates. And that's causing people to react. Yes, that's a tough one. The temperature's either going to be higher or lower, and people are going to dress accordingly.
Talk in early September, 2.5 months ago. And look how much has happened. I want to explain something. I don't want things to collapse, even though it's a bubble. We're damned if we do, damned if we don't. I want to be clear. I'm just telling you what the establishment's saying and what the signs are. And we were saying it not just 2.5 months ago, but 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, as we saw the signs. This bubble is untenable. It's all based on fiat.
I would say also we said that 10 years ago and 12 years ago and 15 years ago. In fact, we've been saying it ever since I ever had a radio show.
Not fraud. But you add together all the crises humans face and the fact that corruption has crept into everything, and the elite don't have an attitude of saving humanity, but just having a global economic, cultural, military meltdown out of which they get full power. They've decided to try to ride the wave of chaos and destruction and grease the skids, and they're going to get power out of this. It is insane. It is self-destructive. And so I'm reissuing this time to the next level. We were like, you know, at a 7 before on the Richter scale. Now we're like a 9 or a 10. The death cons are just moving up literally and figuratively. So let's go ahead and go over some of this evidence right here.
Okay. Now, what is also amazing is that the elites who have all the power in the world to do everything are actually going to make the world even a worse place so they can really have power. Now, I don't know what extra power they get. I guess it would be like there'll be no traffic. Like, that's the one thing. Like, they'll be able to drive around in their stretch Hummers, and there'll be no traffic whatsoever. And they, I don't know, what more power do they want? What do they get? They just, they're going to be able to eat human flesh, and no one's going to complain? It's unclear. But go ahead.
You know, I was just at a Bilderberg group meeting, and the Queen of England and the Pope and I had just finished eating a young boy that we had roasted on a fire pit together. And I was saying, you know, this is great, but there's something missing. You know, I just feel like we're sort of playing around the edges. Like, we run everything, but people don't really know it. They don't really feel it in their guts. So I think what we need to do is we need to sort of ride this wave, take it to the next level. I mean, I do want to nuke Charleston. That's not a joke, man.
Giant. This is what I'm thinking, what they want. They want giant video screens so that when they do this stuff, they have so much power that everybody has to watch the video screens, them do it. That's basically it.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you want recognition for the work you do. You know, it's a certain point. It's like, look, how many kids do I have to eat before people know that I eat kids? There's a payoff to these things. You ever watch True Detective? I mean, same dynamic, just at a different level.
Oh, spoiler. Spoiler alert.
There's no spoiler alert there. I'm just saying at the end of the mystery, you want to know what's actually going on.
All right. There you go. So that explains it. That's what they're up to. The reason why I bring up the Alex Jones here, because when he goes on to show the evidence, it's just evidence that it's just him doing reports that he's done over the past. It's really basically just like a best of package for him in some way.
It's like a rock group that keeps releasing like the unedited, the original. It's like, wait, was that the same?
I'm going to show you
is that the same
director's
studio?
Cuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to show you the director's cuts of the predictions I made of the global meltdown over the summer. You didn't get the full meltdown experience. Now you're going to see it because we are nearly at the fall, where all of it, all hell is going to break loose. You're going to have, people are going to be doing, they're going to be doing the Thanksgiving Day sales. That's going to be crazy. And that's my prediction. We will see within, it is now early September, we will see by early December, a lot of Thanksgiving sales. Not just in big box retail store, but all retail outlets.
By the way, how great was that he said literally and figuratively?
We have literally and figuratively
great covering
gone up DEFCON because we actually do have a DEFCON rating in our
isn't DEFCON 1 like the worst as opposed to like DEFCON 4? Like, if you were, like, at 4, isn't that okay? Or I don't know. I don't know which
one. I don't know how the DEF CON system
Maybe he's
works.
Got...
We've also got our own unique methodology.
Exactly. The higher the number, the least severe.
Well, not in our DEF CON machine.
Exactly.
See, that is... You are a perfect example of how the elite... That's what they've done. They've actually reversed what is the popular conception of the DEF CON levels. So that when it's at DEFCON 1, you're in a panic. But in fact, that's the best place you want to be. It's DEFCON 7, which is the real danger zone. Okay.
Was that an intentional Loggins reference? I appreciated that.
All right. I got to get to some real stuff here. But it's too much fun to do Alex Jones. There has been there was a piece in Politico today. And that basically says, and I think, I don't often do this, but I have to say that I am really been self-congratulatory about my Trump predictions. So I went back to see what we had done in terms of like videos. And I know I had said some stuff on Hayes' show that first day because I was on his program to sort of mock his to mock the announcement that Trump gave. And it was because basically this piece in Politico, this is not the race Jeb Bush expected to run. He expected to run joyfully and with a measured message of optimism. So much for that. It's yet another measure of how Trump has rewired the race in 3 short months since he announced his campaign. It's hard to overstate this effect or even find a historical analog with his outsized personality and outsider message. Trump has sent his GOP rivals careening in directions they couldn't imagine, forced them to rethink their strategies and tactics and altered expectations about the duration of the primary season. He's even managed to unsettle the politically active billionaires who are sizing up the contest. And this is exactly what I believe was so predictable, and I predicted at the time Trump would do. And they're not quite there yet. Because the obvious question is like, why? Why has he been able to do this? It is because they have created a Republican base that will respond to this. And the only people, it has yet to reach Politico. It has not permeated their brains yet. It has not permeated the conventional wisdom. But the weirdly, and maybe not so weirdly, the place that it's beginning to be recognized is with the other lunatics in the Republican Party who are on the wrong side of this. I have said over and over again, to the extent that there's any difference between the Tea Party and the establishment in the Republican Party, these are just two businesses in the same industry. One is Coke, one is Pepsi. And they're just fighting it out. They're both ideologically lunatic. They're lunatics. And so when Jonah Goldberg, who rose to prominence because his mom, Lucianne Goldberg, I believe she was publisher of Regency Press or one of these right-wing outlets, and she rose to prominence because she's the one who convinced Monica Lewinsky to wear a wire. Linda Tripp, to wear a wire, essentially, or to record her calls. Lucianne Goldberg was the sort of the driver behind all that. And Jonah Goldberg, who wrote Fascism is Liberalism, Liberalism is Fascism. I mean, this guy pioneered making a career out of just writing stuff that made conservatives feel good about themselves because he felt so bad about himself. He would just sort of pump himself up in the same way, and that would have the same effect. In other words, he was training the conservative base to believe that pissing off liberals was actually a policy position. In fact, in his piece, where he laments that the conservative movement has moved away from him because it is lying down at the feet of Donald Trump, he writes this. If this is the conservative movement now, I guess you're going to have to count me out. It's true that politicians can disappoint, but I think one has to say that people can too. And when I say the people, I don't mean those people. I mean my people. I mean many of you, dear readers. It's not the low information voters that I'm talking about or the folks we laughed at when Jay Leno interviewed them on the street. But we don't just mean the unwashed and the ill-informed. We sometimes mean Jews, blacks, college kids, Lena Dunham fans, and countless other partisan slices of the electorate who reflexively vote on strict party lines for emotional or irrational reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, that sentence right there is exactly what Donald Trump's appeal is built upon. The fact that Jonah Goldberg would just randomly and almost as a non sequitur stick it in the eye of these sort of cultural libs. Lena Dunham. Let's get a shot in on Lena Dunham as if she was important to some broader policy prescription. That is what the essence of Donald Trump is. That is why at the end of the debate, he turns to Jeb Bush and says, yeah, well, everything you've done is all well and good, but I don't have time to be politically correct. That's all he's saying is that I'm willing to crap on Rosie O'Donnell. And so Jonah Goldberg, in the midst of his grand lament that conservatives have given up their principles to support Donald Trump, establishes his bona fides. His entire premise is built on the same dynamic, that all they do, that what they think their movement is about nothing except them and us and the them are the blacks and the Jews and the Lena Dunhams. This is a parody he's writing. He doesn't even realize it. Yeah, I know that there are plenty of decent and honorable people who support Trump. For instance, my friend John Nolte over at Breitbart. Do you understand why? And I know we've got a minute of that video I did. What was the date of that video? June 18?
Yes.
Okay. I knew it was like a day or two right after Trump, right after I'd been on Hayes. And I said, they cannot criticize Trump because he is everything that he is their essence. And Jonah Goldberg can't either. When do you have to say, I know there are decent and honorable people who support Trump, and the only one you can cite is John Nolte at Breitbart? Or I should say, that's the first one you cite. In the course of talking about Lena Dunham fans, as if they're like a political force, like that's...
They're a huge voting bloc, Sam.
It's just,
you know?
It's just, he can't criticize Trump because he's criticizing himself. And he doesn't have the self-awareness to do that. And that is why, apparently, when this piece gets out there, all of a sudden, the guys who have been out there saying that so-and-so is a rhino, so-and-so is a fake conservative, now they're the fake conservatives. Now they are the cuckservatives. And now many of the people who are criticizing them are white nationalists. But can the guy who says, we don't just mean the unwashed and the ill-informed. We sometimes mean Jews, blacks, college kids, Lena Dunham fans, countless other partisan slices of the electorate. They're just partisan slices of the electorate, right?
Yep.
Like, as opposed to, let's say, whites and men. Right. I mean,
you know what he's
saying when he says Lena Dunham fans, right? He's saying women. That's his way of saying women. So this guy's going to go out there and complain that the NRO, what's the hashtag that they're using? NRO revolt is just driven by white nationalists. And I'm no white nationalist. I just like to cite the fact that there are partisan slices of the electorate. Jews, blacks, college kids, women, and other ones. I mean, they don't even realize that Jonah Goldberg is looking in the mirror and criticizing himself. It's just he doesn't recognize it because he's dressed as a billionaire and he's not sort of fat and slobbering and, you know, behind his keyboard. He's looking in the mirror. He just doesn't realize he's looking at himself.
Let's make a few things clear up top. Breitbart is a great journalistic outfit. I don't care for black people, but we have a problem here with Donald Trump.
It's just,
I don't want beaners in this country either. Woman, ew, gross. But Donald Trump, he's just not classy. It's just full circle
right,
irony.
Exactly. He's not really classy. He's nouveau riche.
We're both trust fund kids, but my trust fund funding came from literary sources and political skullduggery, not real estate in Queens. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know what? What happened to that that story I had? I'll have to do it tomorrow. About Trump. Where did all the stories I have that you're supposed to give me come from? Where did they go? There was a story that I found where Trump could have made more money than the money he supposedly has now.
Oh, let me find that. I'll tell you later. It's National Journal stories are really bad when you print them.
There was a story. It's a great story. Of he could have more money now had he done nothing except for just invest in an index fund, the money his dad gave him. It Now, with that said, he wouldn't have been able to run for president, right? Because he wouldn't have had a career. He would have had a much more interesting career. But that's just sort of, I thought, a funning. All right. Well, so much for the
Do you want to play that quick? If since we're already going long anyways, do you want to play Trump and UU it before we go to the fun half?
Or, oh, sure.
All right. And just wrap.
No, let's say.
Okay.
Play the clip. Play the 1 minute clip. But go and we should maybe DYIA the Trump clip today, just because we're in like the new stage of the campaign, because it got a bunch of hits. But I'm sorry, this was so predictable. I do accept that I have a decent amount of insight into things, but I'm not. This was just so predictable. It's just that people don't. For the vast majority of commentators on television, and it's, I mean, let's face it, we are rapidly heading into a situation where the media landscape is going to be very much what it was like in 2004. I mean, with all due respect, I wasn't a huge fan of Al Sharpton's television program. But now you have Joe Scarborough's show is on for 4 hours a day. And almost all of MSNBC is headed to basically where they were in 2004. Two or three shows at night. Three, I guess. In their primetime lineup. But, you know, who knows? And the mainstream media, for the most part, cannot actually see what the Republican Party has become. They are completely allergic to addressing this. And, you know, when we talk about this stuff, I know some people get annoyed. This is not about, and I think people in our program are very well versed in what's happening with Bernie's campaign and on the Democratic side. And there's going to be plenty of time to talk about that. But this stuff is important for us to understand, because in the coming weeks, we're going to see an attempt to shut down the government over Planned Parenthood funding. We are in a full-on defensive mode, because this is when the wackos get even more crazy. John Boehner now is, it's looking like he may lose his speakership. And so he's going to go full wacko. So we're going to see the government shut down. The point is, whomever it ends up being the Democratic nominee in the fall, and it's still, I think, very much up in the air, and I'm pretty convinced it's not going to be Lawrence Lessig. Regardless of who it is, the question is like, how much can Donald Trump hurt the Republican Party? I don't mean just lose the general, the presidential election, because I think that's going to happen, frankly, no matter who the nominee is. And frankly, no matter who the nominee is on both sides, Hillary or Bernie, I think would beat every Republican, even Mitt when he jumps in.
You think he's going
to
do it?
So? I don't know if he's going to.
If he did, though, oh, my God. I'll tell you something.
I mean, if you're Mitt Romney right now, honestly, right? Like, there's a pool of saliva that's just, like sitting there going, every day he just sees whatever. Somebody's – and look.
It's finally time.
Listen. There's 17 teams of campaign workers working, right? As soon as one or two or three drop out, they want to get back into the game. This is somebody, you know, there are people who are running to Mitt Romney right now saying, Mitt, you should do this.
I might be able to even win this without being a Mexican or a Negro this time. It's wide open. And everybody hates Hillary because she's a woman.
If only I was a woman, I could have definitely won this one.
Imagine if I was a woman Puerto Rican. They would have amended the Constitution. I'd be serving my third term now. But I might just need to jump in. Tag, tick, tock, whatever. Trust funds are getting depleted. Dad's jumping back in. Learn how to run a business, losers.
Strap the dog on top of the car. We're going to D.C.
We're going back into campaign mode.
But the point is that this is going to have big policy impacts down the road.
I heard that Donald Trump has an illegitimate black child. Where did you hear that? See, that's the way rumors get spread. Playing hardball this time. No more messing around.
We will, in the fun half, talk about the paid sick leave. What was I just going to do? Was I going to play that?
You got to play your clip.
Okay, play that clip.
And
just,
say the
just
title. And say the title.
What is the title of that video?
It's on your
video?
Sound sheet. You don't have it?
I can read it if you'd like.
It says, don't be fooled. Republicans fear Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't even know if at the time that they did fear Donald Trump. They do now.
All right, let's listen to this.
This is the party that nominated Sarah Palin as the backup president. So don't tell me that Donald Trump doesn't fit right in with these stooges. Are you kidding? Ben Carson is number three on the poll in the polls for the Republicans. Ben Carson. Don't tell me that Donald Trump is some type of buffoon. Yeah, they're all buffoons. They're all buffoons. And this is the best thing about it, is because he's going to be up there revealing just how much buffoonery is on that stage. He's not going to make them look worse. He's going to make them look or better. He's just going to make them look clearer. That's what I'm going to really enjoy about this. They're going to have to reckon with it. And you know, I think that's basically what has happened. We go more on, but this was all very obvious. This is all, and I don't know if it's Donald Trump in the end. It could very well be Ted Cruz at this point. I mean, the funny thing is Jeb Bush now is a problem for the Republicans, because it's very hard to imagine that Jeb Bush is ever going to be popular. I mean, do you think that Jeb Bush could actually attain even the sort of mediocre, lukewarm attachment that Republicans had to Mitt Romney?
Oh, I think that would be an awe-inspiring accomplishment if Jeb Bush could accomplish that.
That would be
that.
Amazing if he could actually get to the point of being like a Mitt Romney.
He is so exhausted. We talked about this the other day. I never for a moment, when people used to come up to me and be like, I bet you're scared about Jeb Bush getting in. And I would always be like, yeah, I'm terrified, sure. But I always thought it'd be totally mediocre and lackluster. It actually shocks me just how exhausted
and
mediocre
he
is.
But here's the problem they have. Jeb Bush still has $100 million or so in his super PAC. Yep. And there's a scenario where he says, like, I'm going to walk away and tell them to support Marco Rubio. I guess there's a potential for that scenario. Or the other scenario is no, I just stay in there as long as I have money, which means the longer Jeb Bush stays in there without money, I mean, with that money, the harder it is for the establishment to rally around a candidate. So
rally
he's now.
Kasich. I still think that's the guy.
Rally around anybody, but yes. Because that money, I mean, these guys want to spend that money. They want to raise more money. They just never vetted the guy. It's fantastic to watch.
Sorry, Jeb. People just don't like you. Imagine if I married a Mexican and was a Puerto Rican myself. I would have an approval rating of 85%. I'd be the most popular politician in American history. But then again, who would want to be a Puerto Rican? Oh, there are people recording that? Gosh darn. First scandal of the campaign.
There'll be more of these, boys. Strap yourselves in. All right, let's take a break. So much for the teaser Tuesday. Yeah, we teased you with the show by giving you 6 minutes more than we were supposed to. That's what we do. Folks, it's your membership that makes the show possible. Now, don't force me to do an actual teaser Wednesday to get you to become members. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, Just Coffee, don't forget to use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. get the Majority Report blend. Put it outside your business establishment. I was really psyched about it because it's free advertising for the show. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it from our link. Oh, you know, I noticed also, I mean, not for nothing, but Citizen Radio has more ratings than we do. You don't have to just give us a review. You can go and get more ratings on iTunes. Go to majority.fm/review.
I will not stand for Citizen Radio having more ratings and reviews than us.
I was looking around. I was noodling around as I do like 3 in the morning. Like, how many ratings does this show have? How many ratings does that show have? Where are we on the ratings? What? Number 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920 is the number if you want to be a part of the program. You can also IM me via our app at majorityapp.com. We'll be right back after this.